You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
A 6 foot, 3.5 inch white rabbit is once again causing havoc and much laughter in a Broadway theater thanks to my next three guests. They're all starring in a revival of Harvey, Mary Chase's Pulitzer Prize winning comedy, in a Roundabout Theater Company production at Studio 54. Jim Parsons plays Elwood P. Dowd, who spends most evenings at a neighborhood bar with a very tall white friend with large ears, who happens to be invisible to almost everyone else. Jessica Hecht plays his exasperated sister, Vida, and Carol Kane appears as Betty Chumley, the wife of the head of a sanitarium. I'm very pleased that all three of these very talented actors could join me today. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Jim, weren't you on Broadway during the summer break from your hit TV show, The Big Bang Theory, last year?
Yes, that's right.
That was in the Normal Heart.
That was Normal Heart, yeah.
So is theater something of a respite from the pressures of carrying a hit sitcom?
Oh, I don't know if it's much of a respite as much as it is back to my first love in a lot of ways. You know, I did so much theater before I ever got the TV show, and I find myself, last summer, right before the summer, I found myself really eager to get back and do another play, and the Normal Heart happened to be able to fit into the schedule, and I was thrilled to do it, and then when
it was a marvelous production.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was really a once in a lifetime experience as an actor to be a part of a company like that and a show that affected people in a way that one did. But then when Harvey was offered this for this summer, I jumped really pretty immediately upon hearing about it. I was just eager to get back. There's really nothing like doing live theater for me, at least, as far as being invigorating and a learning experience.
Well, Elwood, your character, is clearly not as socially clueless as Sheldon, but do you find any similarities between them?
Well, they're definitely both the outsider's point of view in each of the productions, if you will. You know, the farthest outside the realms. The other thing that's really in common, there's a literalness about both of them. They both take people very much at what they literally say and respond in kind. What was more attractive, obviously, was the chance to play something so opposite. You know, from 9 months a year playing a character in Sheldon who is so opposed to touching people, so opposed to human contact, and then to come into this summer and get to play somebody who wants nothing more than to connect with you and to talk with you and to touch you, you know, in whatever way.
Hey, Carol, you're no stranger to comedy either. Between Annie Hall, your Emmy-winning turn as Simca in Taxi and in Scrooge opposite Bill Murray, you get to play the straight woman here when you drop in on your husband, Dr. Chumley, on the way to a party. Do you like being the straight person?
Gee, I never would think of... I never thought of my character in that mm-hmm. way. I guess I don't... No, I don't think of it that way.
Well, she is kind of a kindred spirit.
Yeah, that's how I kind of think that we have a lot in common in some kind of worldview, you know.
And you speak in cross purposes without realizing it.
Speaking cross purposes?
I think with me, yeah. With Elwood, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You're kindred spirits, but then you have this.
Not talking about the same thing, you know.
Yeah. As we're talking, I'm thinking to myself, I so do not take things apart in my mind that I play, that I'm listening to you talking, and I'm thinking, what? She what? It's like I don't really, I guess I sort of need not to think objectively about what I am doing, but probably to a fault.
So what happens when you're comparing notes with other actors, and they have analyzed every word of their part to completely understand it? You just trust the script?
I mean, I've analyzed every word of my part, but not in a objective way, in a more, you know, just in terms of the feelings and thoughts of my character. So it's not like I haven't done my homework. I think I'm just not good at describing it.
Jessica, you've said that you rarely play somebody who doesn't have a breakdown. Yeah. You were just Blanche DuBois in Streetcar at the Williamstown Theater Festival. So you've gone from Stanley to Elwood?
Oh, that wow. Think about that. I deserve it, don't you think? Yeah, I think I do always get parts where the character has a breakdown. And I think, though, there's always, you can like find that thread of, if I was to really put my mind to it, how Vida and Blanche are alike. I mean, I was thinking the other day about how all these people have an idea of what it was all supposed to be, and it's not that. Mm-hmm. And they're trying so hard to find a little ray of hope. So,
although we get a sense that Vida is not the kind of person who is prone to breakdowns, which...
Yeah.
Makes this whole thing a lot funnier.
Yeah. Oh, good. I hope so. Yeah. This is really a moment she wasn't thinking was going to happen. Yeah.
I haven't mentioned that Harvey will be familiar to many people in the audience because of the movie.
Sure.
And also the play that James Stewart starred. And James Stewart was the second Elwood.
That's right. He took over for Frank Fay, was it, who played it originally? Sometime after it had been running for quite a while.
In fact, I think it ranks as one of Broadway's longest-running non-musicals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So had you seen – I don't know how often it's been revived, but I'm assuming that you'd seen the movie.
I had not.
I had.
Mm-hmm. I had seen
Jessica had been in one of the movies, one of the
many. I did one of the Hallmark movies of it. You know, also,
oh, there's a Hallmark version of Harvey?
Yeah, that a wonderful, iconic television to film, or actually theater to television director, George Schaefer, who had done, really created that form in many ways. He did this film that we did in about 15 years ago. And Swoozy, the remarkable Swoozy Kurtz, played Vida. And Harry Anderson played Elwood. And... dear Leslie Nielsen played Dr. Chumley. And I played Nurse Kelly. So I had a very different perspective of the play. You know, Nurse Kelly really doesn't have a breakdown. You know, but she has the same desires as all the other girls.
She's just the sex object.
Yeah. Can you imagine? And Vida just wants to be the sex object. Well, that's what I think. But anyway, but needless to say, there was also one with Art Carney.
They all seem perfect for the part in different ways.
Yeah.
And is that part of the fun, Jim? And that
I think
this
so.
Is a part that so many different actors can claim
I think
own?
Completely. I think that there's something extremely malleable about it. And I think it partly relates to the fact that, you know, one of the main drives of this character is just something that's so universal, this desire to connect, this desire to – that we all – I was going to say get along, but that's not – I mean, I guess that's part of it. But it really, you know, to connect and to make each other feel good and to be there for each other. And so there's a lot of different ways to go about getting to that, you know. And so a lot of different people – I really do. I think there's – you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who couldn't play this part if they were willing to give it a shot, you know, because your way of getting there won't be wrong. It'll just be different.
Well, I just have to beg to differ. I think there are a lot of people who couldn't play the part.
I agree.
Because I think it's a very challenging.
You have to have a certain kind of a touch.
Yeah, and it's an enormous role that requires, A, a lot of talent, and B, a lot of, as they say, chops. That's what I think.
My guests are Carol Kane, Jessica Hecht, and Jim Parsons, three of the stars in Mary Chase's Harvey, now in a revival at the Roundabout Theater's company production at Studio 54, a place that where people used to go to dance, now they go to laugh. Frank Fay, as you mentioned, was the original Elwood P. Dowd. He was an alcoholic in real life. And
Frank was?
Yeah, and Mary Chase was a recovering alcoholic.
That
she wrote
I knew.
Harvey. And yet drinking in general and Elwood's drinking in particular isn't seen particularly harsh light here, even though most people assume that it causes Elwood to see things that aren't there.
Mm-hmm. No, it turns into this more, in our production at least, is this very gentle through line, or this actually very gentle undercurrent, you know. Of course, no scenes take place in a bar. There's no... Elwood doesn't, you know, come on with a flask at any point. And there's several times it's mentioned, let's go have a drink, you know, and he's been to the cocktail party and, oh God, it was charming. And, you know, I think one of it is that she didn't write somebody who, whatever, if you want to take from it that his effect from alcohol is a combination of seeing this rabbit and connecting with people. Okay, but what he doesn't have is ever a falling down, a slurring, a rage that he breaks into. There's no such thing in there. So the negative adverse effects of alcohol, if we're talking about any at all, simply don't make a splash in this.
Jessica, do you have any sense of what inspired Mary Chase to write this?
Oh, yeah, it's a very, very touching story because she was a really accomplished journalist, and she had a very dear friend on her block who had lost her son in the war and had also earlier lost her husband. And it's told in many documents that she simply wanted to make her laugh and have it not to be anything about what was going on in the world at that time. And, you know, she was Irish and had this Pooka mythology in her personal history. So, yeah, but the specifics of that play and how it was written and how many times, how long a process it was, all related to the desire to make her friend laugh.
Has the play been changed at all, updated to make sense to contemporary audiences? Or is
no
this pretty
updating.
Much the original script?
No, we did a little picking from other incarnations, mm-hmm. a little from the film script and a little from you know, a couple of different versions, but it definitely, we have not
Nothing.
Done
no updating.
No. A couple of phrases were taken away that seemed dated and mm-hmm. offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just derogatory.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, yes.
Yeah.
They did have phrases that we deemed offensive and derogatory. Yeah.
I don't remember.
The word, you know, things that made you feel that there was, although I don't think she was, prejudiced or homophobic or anything. They're just phrases that were used in time.
Mm-hmm.
So we eliminated every one
of
those.
It's the kind of thing that whatever she was, there's just no need. There's no need to, I don't think, prick the audience's ears in that way
yeah.
and send them down a path that's not going to lead anywhere, you know.
This is not the normal heart.
Well, no, it's not the normal heart, you know. I just, like you say, I don't think Mary Chase ever intended it to be anything other than, there's no offense. She was no offense being pushed. I don't know how to say that, sorry.
No offense intended.
Yes, thank you, intended.
Well, the night I went, I would say that two-thirds of the audience was from out of town. I don't know if that is typical. I would assume that it's different performances.
Yeah.
You get laughs on different lines?
Oh, you'd be, I should say, surprised at how wildly an audience can vary in their vocal appreciation of the show.
It's
our obsession.
Remember Queen Fu, well, of course, not a lot of people don't remember Queen for a Day, but there was like an applause monitor and you'd see like a needle go up and down on a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were watching our applause monitor from night to night in terms of the vocal reactions, that needle just like going mm-hmm. all over the place, up and down. It's on, you know, even on visual jokes. Sometimes a visual joke will get these huge laughs, and then the next night it'll be like,
yeah,
but
true.
We analyze it. The most intriguing thing to me is we spend hours talking about them as though they're our children.
Right.
Maybe
a
they have a
people.
Stomach ache. Maybe
right.
they do.
Are they hot?
They're warm.
They're tired. It's all physical things that we attribute to their lack of.
Yeah.
But, you know, the first two rows, the first group of children aren't really
it's
awake.
Hot out.
You know?
But you know what's interesting, and it's one of the most rewarding and exciting things about doing live theater, is that I do there is a group think. There is a group mood.
Yeah,
and
all you need
people,
is one big laugher.
And
yeah,
suddenly
right.
everyone's on board. And it really is amazing in that way. And because one of the things, too, is that on our quieter nights, we've yet to have awkward backstage encounters where obviously they hated it. It never seems
that
way.
No, they always love it.
And in fact, when they've been close friends who we have confessed, tonight was kind of quiet, we weren't sure, they're always taken aghast that they were not a wonderful house and just effusive. And it's like, oh, okay. There's just no... we're wasting our time back there talking about these people.
But what
you know,
else
they're
going to
do what they're going to do.
But you do have to, on when you're performing, Yeah. If you get a big laugh, you have to find little bits
certainly.
To do yeah. to fill the
to
time.
Fill the time
and one night,
or extend yeah, the laugh.
Yeah, one night, I'm sure you're working really hard to fill, and then the next night, you're right on to the next line.
Absolutely.
We had the understudy go on Sunday, and when we were rehearsing, he kept it at a pace because he's never experienced where the laughs were. And I have to confess, at one point, I thought, well, I should tell him there's going to be a huge laugh at that moment.
Was there?
Yes, there was.
There was. Did he stop?
Yes, he's a wonderful actor.
Well, that's true.
My guests are Jim Parsons, who plays Elwood P. Dowd, Jessica Hecht, who plays Vita Louise Simmons, and Carol Kane, who plays Betty Chumley, and Mary Chase's Harvey in a Roundabout Theater Company production at Studio 54, 254 West 54th Street. By the way, if you want information about tickets, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. Stay with us. We'll have more with these wonderful guests right after this. We are back with Jim Parsons, who plays Elwood P. Dowd, Jessica Hecht, who plays his exasperated sister Vita, and Carol Kane, who plays Betty Chumley, the wife of the head of a sanitarium that plays a major part in the plot of Harvey, the Pulitzer Prize-winning play that is now in a Roundabout Theater Company production at Studio 54 at 254 West 54th Street. What are the acoustics like there? I mean, that space was designed originally as a dance emporium. It's yeah. legendary for all sorts of things that Harvey the rabbit and Elwood and all the other members of the cast would probably be shocked to know it even occurred in the 60s and 70s.
I've not listened, actually. I have not been far back in the house to actually take our voices in at any point to tell you. I don't feel as an actor it's been hard to project in the space, mm-hmm. and we're not getting complaints about not being heard. So I think the design as it was or whatever has been sweetened, making it into a theater has worked.
Yeah, I think so.
Harvey is a study in contrast between Elwood, who's very matter-of-fact about his mysterious furry friend, and everyone else who's thrown into a tizzy about the impression that he makes. Is that imaginary? Is it because you think imaginary friends are so common to children and not to adults? We indulge children when they have imaginary friends, and we... concerned when adults talk about them.
Why do we indulge children in imaginary friends?
Because we want them to be creative,
We want them to have to squelch their imaginations. Yeah.
But then there, it's an interesting question because I guess as people grow up, you expect them to lose some of that freedom or they're required to lose some of that freedom of imagination, which is kind of a sad thing.
They're no longer allowed to paint the sky orange.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's blue. The grass has to be green.
Which is what is so outstandingly lovable and refreshing about Elwood is that somehow he has bypassed the expectations of being an adult. You know, he's
But shouldn't Elwood be surprised that everyone doesn't see Harvey? Assume that they do, but he never realizes that they don't.
Well, yes, I hear what you're saying. I did feel while working on it, what naturally started to happen was a sort of, from my own eyes as an actor going through each scene, I felt there was this, some people just don't. And you know, it's funny, the scene I have with Carol between Elwood and Mrs. Chumley, and one of the things we were talking about, how they connect or whatever, and there's a similar worldview maybe. That's one of those scenes where he stops and just says mid-sentence, basically, I hope Harvey gets a chance to meet you. I think he would really be taken by you. And I think as much in there is, and you would see him, and he can see that about her. And mm-hmm. you would have things to share with him mm-hmm. and would be willing to. And I think he feels, to me, there seems to be a sort of undercurrent of that between a lot of people. I think that he feels Vita and Harvey. He knows Vita can see Harvey. You know,
sometimes she admits.
When she's willing to admit it, you know. And then Dr. Chumley, it's never stated implicitly, but, at one point, he says, He says, Sanderson says, Dr. Chumley would really like to help you. And Elwood replies, that's very nice of him. I would like to help him too. And I thought, well, you know, he's noticed something in Chumley, as he does in lots of people, that they could be helped in one way or another by interaction with Harvey.
So what do you make of the fact that some people can see the puka? Does that mean that they are more open to things than the rest of us because the audience can't?
I think that's a good word for it.
And I also think those people are searching outside of themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a few of the characters in the play really have a very specific agenda, which has to do with... You know, the four younger characters are all really dying to, you know, hook up with somebody. They're very focused on the basics of life. And the other characters who see Harvey seem to have gone beyond that and are searching for something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And
but they're afraid to admit that they see Harvey.
Yes, but I think they're afraid to acknowledge that they are I'm so sorry. This is the worst time to have a word finding problem, isn't it?
You know, when somebody writes the script, you don't have to worry about that.
No, exactly.
No, but it's more interesting to try to find something specific to say. I do think that those people that see Harvey are outside of the norm, and they're embarrassed about that.
I think, like you said, Jim, that there's... The people that see Harvey are the people that have a need to see Harvey. They need that in their lives. Don't you think?
Well, when you touched on the word open, I do feel like if you've ever... I feel if you've ever lost a loved one, whether it be to death or to separation or whatever, my experience has been that it puts you in a very open place. Wounded, certainly, and I guess there's a big correlation there, but there is that sense of your heart and your mind and your eyes being open in a way for a period of time in which a lot of stimuli can get in that you wouldn't normally let in. And so I do feel like that seems to be... Again, you know, if it's not on the page, it's not on the stage. So it's never implicitly stated here. But in lines like, I would like to help him too, and things like that, I think there's some that she's touching on that in some way. These people are at a place in their lives where not only do they need it, they're open to receiving it. And some characters aren't, you know, that are in the play.
My guests are Jim Parsons, Jessica Hecht, and Carol Kane, three of the stars of Harvey, now at the Roundabout Theater Company's production of the Pulitzer Prize-winning play at Studio 54. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Well, Elwood in particular spends a lot of time gesturing toward Harvey. Did you have to develop some kind of consistency as to where you're going to look?
Yeah,
he's six foot 3.5, right?
Well, what's funny is it was one of the more challenging things, if not the most challenging things about doing this role in some ways, was because... You don't realize what a gift having a scene partner is until they're gone. And then suddenly you're responsible for both motivations, you know.
Do you imagine what Harvey's saying to you? Is this the same thing as talking into a dead telephone on stage?
It is very similar. It really is. And depending night to night what's going on, you know, there's a thousand things to grab your focus when you're doing a live show. And sometimes you definitely, quote-unquote, hear what's going on the other line or from Harvey. And some nights you're just playing a timed-out beat because you just got to get there and make it real sounding. But that being said, beyond just that, Scott Ellis, the director, got up and literally walked Harvey a couple of times. Not through the whole play, but probably the whole play in different times of different parts. And that was very helpful in a very logistic sense of, you know, it would be like I was letting Harvey get to a door too quickly or whatever. It's like, that's not realistic. We can't follow that. And then a lot of it depended on once we got into the space of Studio 54 where I could find places to look so that I could be consistent night after night and scene after scene, depending on height and placement in the room. And,
Well, Jessica, you said that Harvey is the most tiring of all the plays you've done, more than Blanche DuBois.
Yeah, well, in Blanche DuBois, it's tiring in a different way. It's invigorating to play that part because you feel this profound sense of completion every night. And you also have such an emotional release in that play that it's actually very cleansing to do a part like that, I have found. But Harvey is simply tiring because the level of concentration to maintain the rhythms and the physicality is sort of a nagging. Every time you step on stage, there's this nagging voice that says, hit that, because that's what gets that, and that's what gets to the next point. And it requires, to be very honest, at times just doing stuff that you're not quite emotionally connected to at the moment, because you totally need the audience to laugh.
Well, actors have told me that they think some actors have told me they think comedy is harder to do than drama, although
yeah.
I don't know. What about you, Carol? You were just in the Children's Hour. Normally you've done comedies.
I've done a lot of both, and I don't think one is harder than the other. I think the necessary element is good writing, and if something is really written well and beautifully and in a unique voice, you have a path to follow in your own individual way, but you have a really strongly marked path to follow. And if the writing is general and not well done, then that's hard because you are having to carry the burden of sort of filling in where the writing isn't there.
Well, you've also, Jessica, you've also were in the production of A View from the Bridge with Liev Schreiber and Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
If you'd gotten a laugh in that, something would have gone wrong, right?
We got laughs on cultural things. We got laughs on little things, you know, that people who came from Brooklyn to see the play and historically. But you know, that was always a relief because you felt the presence of the audience. I think laughs are just for us an acknowledgement that somebody's really listening.
And you get a lot of laughs in the scene where your character Vera is mistaken for the crazy one.
Yeah. Well, that's just, you know, that's always all the delicious stuff that you find, you know, you personally find funny, like the stocking being down and your undies being tugged into your shirt and your your hat being crazy. And what I love about that scene is watching the other people I'm acting with, you know, they have their own ideas of what's funny about it. We never talk about it. So it's this little jazz piece. It's very interesting to just kind of let go in that. Yeah.
Well, Harvey is a very funny play, but why else do you think that it has been so popular? I mean, here we have this revival. How many years later? It was 1940 what?
It was 44, then 70 when Jimmy Stewart did it with Helen Hayes. So that is...
So you're in the part that Helen Hayes played?
I don't think she did the goofy stuff.
No.
She didn't seem like a goofball at all.
Well, she had to still play that discombobulated part.
Yeah,
where...
but she probably didn't tuck her undies into her
shirt. Right. You don't know what Ms. Hayes did, do
well,
you?
She did something more elegant, I assure
perhaps,
you.
Perhaps.
Do you know what the other part I was going to say about that we talked about a lot, because Scott Ellis did this amazing research, was the sanitarium and the history of all of that, which I think is so intriguing that Freud had died that year and all the stuff about the sanitarium was so, you know, all that stuff was very sort of in vogue to talk about hysterical women. And I kind of dig that whole element of that.
And how a psychiatrist could totally misread what is going on.
We talked about that a lot.
Now, some people will be surprised that it won the Pulitzer Prize over The Glass Menagerie.
That's right.
Yeah. There are cultural elements in both plays that are shared, like the little envelopes in the mailbox, that the same as Laura got those envelopes, you know, from the gentleman called Elwood did. They would have been a miraculous pairing.
Just one more thing before you go. Two of you at least have done TV sitcoms. Where you're playing the same character again and again.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing the same character again and again, only with the same lines here. Mm-hmm. How different is it? Because you're constantly developing Sheldon. You were constantly developing Simca, weren't you? As Taxi went on.
Yes.
Can you do much of that here?
Oh yes. I just have to say, by virtue of the fact that the thing is live every show, it is For me, terrifying every show. I feel that I'm working well if I am really listening and responding in whatever way it comes out on that particular night. I don't like to repeat myself, although I'm sure we all do to some extent. But
well, you always have to be in the moment, as they say.
That's the goal. That's the goal. And that's different every night.
Yeah, and but to the chance to repeat the same scenes, the same words, the same lines over and over, and they just take on a different shape. And you don't get that opportunity, you know, because you're on to the next script in the TV land.
Also, somebody can throw you a line with it different than it was last night.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you so much, all of you. Jim Parsons, who's a two-time Emmy winner. He stars as Elwood P. Dowd in Harvey, now at Studio 54. Jessica Hecht plays Vida. Louise Simmons and Carol Kane plays, also a two-time Emmy Award winner, plays Betty Chumley. It's been a great pleasure having you all
on
the show today.
Thank you so much.
Nice to be here.
It's fun.